Let's get growing. Welcome to the Home Show Garden Pros. It's time for gardening and landscape tips and advice from Houston's leading garden and landscape experts. Now here's Sandy Mosier with Danny Milliken from the Houston Botanic Garden.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. You can give Danny Milliken from Houston Botanic Garden, as was just mentioned, a call here at 281-833-3333, 281-833-3333. He is taking your calls and your questions and your concerns. We've had lots of great information. I do have one follow-up question for you, Danny. We were talking about maximizing your harvest, your veggie harvest.
Yeah.
And you talked about, you know, watching out for the grasshoppers and caterpillars using horticultural oil and horticultural molasses.
Yes.
You can do that every 2 weeks for the next few weeks. So you have pretty leafy vegetables, so they won't have holes in them. And then Lonzo, when he called a few minutes ago, he was asking about what he can do to his garden to, you know, feed it and take care of it. And you had mentioned the fertilizers.
Right.
So what? Say that again about what else we can do.
Well, so in the view of maximizing your harvest.
Yes.
So at this point, you know, being 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
From this first holiday, if you're doing anything for Hanukkah, then you're another 2 weeks, and then, you know, another 3 weeks for Christmas, right? So, but for Thanksgiving, all you can do right now, you can add flavor.
Oh.
You can improve the flavor of your vegetables, your fruiting vegetables, your tomatoes. You can't do a lot with your sweet potatoes, your potatoes, but peppers, you can actually give them a little boost of flavor.
Okay.
If you have any eggplant, I'm trying to think of what else might be on the vine still, right?
Okay.
And the it's just
how?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to sound a little too easy.
Okay.
And you know, I love explaining things. It's nice being in this seat because I can go a little nuts. So there's this metric called BRICS that NASA uses to make sure that the produce they grow on the space station has maximum nutrition density.
It's
good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that BRICS rating. They did a bunch of tests, a bunch of things they added to improve it. The only way you can improve it is by improving your soil. It's kind of why we talk about this so much.
We talk about the soil all the time.
Yeah. And so the fastest way to do that is by adding compost.
Uh-huh.
So if you can sprinkle a little bit of MicroLife, just the 624.
Uh-huh.
And then top that off with about a quarter inch, half inch of compost.
Uh-huh.
You'll actually improve the BRICS of your plants very quickly, and that can still affect the flavor of your produce.
And you can do that now. You could do that this weekend.
Yep.
You could go to one of the Home Show Garden Pros. So that's a great reminder. You know, just 2 weeks ahead, we can improve our veggies. Awesome. Well, Danny, we've got a couple of calls, but we're going to take Debbie and Mitch when we return after this break. And you are listening to Home Show Garden Pros. And you can call us at 281-833-3333. And we will return with Debbie after this.
Get your green on at Plants for All Seasons. From perennials and annuals to ground cover and grasses, their hand-chosen plants are second only to their support. Get even greener. Plants for All Seasons gardening classes are a fun way to learn something new for everyone, from beginning or master gardeners. Plants for All Seasons, 21328 Highway 249, just north of Louetta, and online at plantsforallseasons.com.
Your soil is like a rechargeable battery. The better it is, the longer the energy lasts. Landscapers Pride soils and premium mulches are made from locally sourced all-organic materials capable of handling the summer's heat and feeding your plants efficiently. Landscapers Pride's mulches and amendments mixes are blended to help plants thrive in the clay and sandy loam found in southern Texas. It's trusted by garden professionals, so grab a bag of Landscapers Pride at a Garden Pro nursery and recharge. Find a retail location near you at landscaperspride.com.
You're listening to the Home Show Garden Pros. Gardening help you want, answers you can trust from members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op.
Hi, this is John Ferguson from Nature's Way Resources. Come visit our nursery up in the Conroe Woodlands area.
I'm Joey Linderman from Enchanted Nurseries and Landscapes in Richmond.
Connect with Home Show Garden Pros Co-op members anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com or call now at 281-833-3333.
Good morning. This is Home Show Garden Pros, and I am lucky enough to be here with Danny Milliken from Houston Botanic Garden, and he is taking your phone calls at 281-833-3333. And Danny, you've got a line of callers waiting to talk to you.
Uh-oh.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Danny, welcome home.
Thanks, Debbie.
I have a question about milkweed. I know it's approaching time to cut it back, but I'm holding off because I'm waiting for the seed pods to develop. But when I do finally harvest the seed pods, how far back do I cut my milkweed?
Debbie, great question, and I appreciate your sensitivity to kind of the nature of what we should be doing with milkweed. And, you know, part of it is still a hot debate if we need to cut it back in fall. So I'll just say that there's a entomology debate going on among butterfly experts about that very topic. As far as like your wanting to know how far to cut yours back, to me it's a visual impact. So I fall on the side of the entomology debate that says you don't need to cut them back. At all.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm you know, coming from some people I trust that are in the debate, and I get both sides of the argument, but when it comes down to it, monarchs are in decline. Our OE virus is not higher here than it is in Michoacan, where they are supposed to be headed. And so we do have it higher in the winter than we do in other times of the year, but not higher in the winter than anywhere else. So for me, cutting it back is where are the leaves gone? Like, that's where I cut it back. Or if I am looking for a different visual, cut it back to the ground. Those are the two. So it's a design perspective than anything else.
Okay. Well, I do still have caterpillars.
Yeah.
I have noticed in the last, I'm going to say 3 weeks, that I have had a couple butterflies emerge that were deformed.
Yeah.
So it's really tough for me, but I wanted the flower pot, the seed pods.
So in your situation, you kind of have this confirmed viral problem, right? And so your best bet is to cut to the ground and then spray over with something called humic acid. It's a chelator. It bonds with lots of things, and it can bond and lock in molecules that have virus on it, and then mulch again with good mulch. And so,
So
just mulch it, cut it back all the way to the ground, even maybe past the ground by an inch, spray over, soak over with humic acid, and then top off with mulch.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now a moral question. Ooh. I guess that kind of was too, but a moral question. I have switched over to organics, and I'm using the MicroLife products. But I have leftover nitrifos, and I have offered it to a couple people, and I was going to deliver to a neighbor a block away. But I keep asking myself, is it better off going in the trash, or should I give it away? 'Cause,
interesting.
Honestly, if we're thinking about the landfill or the lawn, I put it in the lawn. I would use it kind of staggered between organic ones. It's just chemical, right? That's all it is. It's just two chemicals together bonded, and a little bit of water will break them apart. If you're doing a little bit and you have a robust ecosystem, that ecosystem will use those chemicals, right? And so if you're doing a little bit at a time, you can use it. So maybe give them that instruction. Paint over the part on the bag that has instructions and make your own instructions and just say like half a cup a week or something like that. And do that same thing. But they're not on their own, right, an environmental hazard. That's, you know, it's when we overuse them, when we exclusively use them, they become an environmental hazard. And so
maybe I can go ahead and use it.
I would say, yeah, go ahead and use it. Just use it sparingly. But yeah, get it better in your lawn or your garden that is a safe place with lots of organic life than in the landfill, where truly it would probably wind up in water or
leaching in the water.
Yeah, or getting bonded with something else, you know. So,
Okay. Third thing, last. The lemon balm is starting to really look good, and I want everyone to know that lemon balm jelly is like a mouthful of sunshine.
Oh, I love it.
That's great, because I'm standing outside with my mouth open and getting sunshine that way. And it's,
right.
And people are judging me. They're judging me. No, that sounds amazing. Yeah. I've never even heard of that. That's fun. That's awesome.
It's fantastic. So enjoy.
Well, great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Debbie. What great information. Mm. I loved her moral question.
Yeah.
That's very, and you know what? Actually, the milkweed is kind of, I'm glad you brought
two
up
moral questions, really. Yeah.
You brought up that debate on, you know, do we leave them? And my theory is I had been leaving mine.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're kind of spriggy looking and tall, but I love it. And I see my butterflies. Everybody looks healthy. So I'm going to watch out for that, you know, over time. But
yeah, if they're all emerging healthy and you're not seeing anything deformed, because if you get deformed ones, they'll be dead in a couple days.
Yeah.
So
you'll see them
kind of deformed butterfly bodies on the ground.
Right. And that's when you should cut them back and use the humic acid.
Yeah. You're basically like quarantining the space.
Okay.
Right. So yeah, right. Humic acid. Okay. Great, great liquid, carbon rich, but it has a huge molecule with lots of openings.
Okay.
So it can bond with lots of different things.
Okay.
Sometimes even things like, you know, viruses. So.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. You can talk to Danny at 281-833-3333, 281-833-3333. And when we return, we'll talk with Mitch and Karen.
Fall is the best time to be outside and the most important time to care for your lawns and gardens. Use MicroLife all-organic fertilizers, liquids, and granulars. Mother Nature will love you for it. Brown patch in your lawn? Not a problem. Use MicroLife Brown Patch or MicroLife MicroGrow. Always safe and always effective. No matter what you plant, MicroLife organic fertilizers are your best choice. MicroLife organic fertilizers. Healthy soils, healthy plants, healthy people. Visit MicroLifeFertilizer.com.
Bring on the molasses. Overspray your lawn with molasses. Bugs hate it. Caterpillars can't eat it. And it stops fall fungi. This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Sienna Mulch. They are a green waste recycler and manufactures their own premium hardwood mulch right here in South Houston. Family owned since 2009, they are on the South Side. Sienna Mulch, that is what you need for your lawn and garden. Here's what you can choose from. You can choose from mulch, soil, sand, compost, gravel, and stones. They carry them all. Sienna Mulch also carries all of your favorite fertilizers and plant foods that we talk about here on the show. And they have landscaper's tools. It's wonderful. It's a one-stop shop for all of your projects. Plus, they deliver small loads within 20 miles of their yard in Rocheron. It is in Rocheron, south of Houston. So visit Sienna Mulch. Sienna Mulch, so much more than mulch. Find out more at your homeshowgardenpros.com.
It does sound perfect for projects.
Yes. You know,
especially, I love that delivery. 20 miles is pretty long.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, we're going to jump on with Mitch. Hey, Mitch, you got a question?
Yeah, I've got a problem with my lawn, and I need some advice. So we're on Dickinson Bay right on the water, and my backyard this past summer got kind of burned up, and I think maybe even chinch bug damage. What's the best? I still have some bare spots, but the St. Augustine is starting to come back. What could I do to revitalize the whole thing?
Mitch, what have you done? So how long have you lived at this house?
We're going on 3 years.
Okay. So you were not there for Harvey?
No. Harvey, actually, the lawn was put in, it's new construction. The lawn was put in after Harvey.
Okay, great, great. And then do you know if they did any soil remediation before that?
No. All they did was come in there with a bunch of rakes and raked it up. Yeah.
So your location kind of triggers to me this like potential salinity issue, right? Like kind of water coming in that's brackish, sitting there for a while, leaving quite a bit of salt in the soil. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so
that definitely happened. That
That would be
that
sort of like a non.
Another storm.
Oh yeah. Oh, another storm too. More than once.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
An easy response to that, and we've already mentioned the product, but is humic acid, and probably better to use the solid form of it, Humates Plus. It also has a mineral pack, which a lot of times minerals are what get lost in rain events. What they get eroded, they're a little bit larger molecules than our normal clay. And so this will bond together bigger molecules of clay, so we'll have more air in the garden, I mean more air in the soil, and it'll bring in a bunch of carbon, and it'll lock up that salt.
Ooh.
Right, so that's like it'll have this triple effect. We're talking about a pretty quick turnaround. And I don't doubt that you are seeing chinch bugs. I mean, anytime we get less healthy lawns, we see pests and disease. Just that's what happens, right? Very normally in nature, the health of a plant goes down, and we see pests and disease come in. And so that your St. Augustine is growing again a little bit is great. A little bit of fresh water, a little bit of kind of ionization from the rain, probably sparking that a little bit, and just cooler weathers.
Right.
So to me, that's your first bet.
Would be Microlife Humates Plus.
Microlife Humates Plus, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there is also hose and filters that you put on your nozzle, and it will filter out fluoride and chloramine, which are two additional salts. To kind of like maybe making your problem a little bit worse. Most homeowners aren't going to have that issue, but being on the bay, okay. Being near water, I might think adding more salt to my, you know, pack in the soil is not what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it.
What about any compost? Does he need to sprinkle any compost
on
there?
And then we just compost top dress also does all of this, mm-hmm. basically. It has a ton of humic acid in it. It has already microbial organisms that are ready to stir, be eaten. It's going to add a bunch of nitrogen, so you will get a green kind of burst of growth with the compost top dressing.
Right.
And that's just where we sprinkle it less than a quarter of an inch all over the whole yard.
And this time of year is fine to do
that?
Yeah,
there's no bad time to do it.
Okay.
It's the perfect winterizer. It's the perfect spring startup. It's nature.
Yeah.
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 But I'd be concerned Mitch, about that salt.
Gotcha. So give me the name of the product again, and where can I buy it?
So he was talking about Microlife products, and you can find those at all of our Home Show Garden Pros. Microlife Humates Plus. I know they sell it in other locations too, like some Ace Hardwares.
You can go on the Microlife website to find out where they sell it.
Right, where they are. So Microlife Humates Plus, it's the purple and white bag. And then we recommend Leaf Mold Compost. John Ferguson's company is Nature's Way Resources. And he has that in all different locations also. You don't necessarily just have to go north for him. So,
Sandy, do y'all have a finder on your website?
Yes.
Yeah.
At homeshowgardenpro.com. There's links there so that you can find all of these products. So Microlife products
great.
and Nature's Way Resources compost. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
And you will see results because I am not an expert and I've had some issues with my soil and compaction, and I've used the Humates and I got some pretty fast results. So good luck with that.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks for your call. And this is Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610. And when we return, we're going to talk with Karen and Steven.
Mike Ball knows irrigation.
Over 30 years.
He looks at yards, sees issues like underwatering,
dead zones, yellowing, sick trees,
overwatering,
brown patch, weeds, root rot.
Find the healthy balance with Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping and Lighting.
Hi, it's Mike. We design and install water-conserving irrigation systems, reducing water waste by 30%, delivering healthier yards and gardens.
Invite Mike Ball Irrigation to review your system.
It's easy, and you'll love the difference.
MikeBallIrrigation.com.
Now, back to answering your gardening questions with the Home Show Garden Pros.
Hey, this is John Ferguson, Nature's Way Resources. Want everybody to come into the nursery because fall is the time for planting, especially for our fruit trees and citrus. And we have orders arriving daily, got a full selection, everything from avocados to grapefruits. So come in and get it. We also have a lot of the annual fall color coming in. In addition, we've put in a new rack due to customer requests. We found a supplier, Heirloom non-GMO organic seeds that are not treated with pesticides. So when they germinate, they don't poison our pollinators like our bees and butterflies. Additionally, this past summer, we've been working on expanding the nursery. We've added more shade cloth, working on drainage, and just added some, doing some testing, some new technology, a digester for food waste to water your plants with. And also this time of year, it's always great to top dress your lawn with compost. It's one of the best ways to prevent fungal diseases like brown patch. And at the same time, get a little remineralizer and add those trace and micronutrients back to your soil. So come see us at Nature's Way Resources. Nature's Way Resources, we're located just off the intersection of I-45 and FM-1488. Go west one block over the rail track, make a right, and you run into us. We're hard to miss. We're open from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday and 8 to 2 on Saturday. So come visit us and enjoy the grounds.
Thank you for listening to Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. I am here with Danny Milliken from the Houston Botanic Gardens, and he is taking your questions and your calls. We have had some great topics.
Yeah.
He is here at 281-833-3333. And Danny, we have got Karen on the line. Good morning, Karen. What do you have for Danny?
I've got two follow-up questions to all this terrific information you're giving us this morning.
Great.
You said humic acid is a chelator that can get rid of the viruses in milkweed, and you also just said it was useful in salty soil. I'm wondering, would this be effective to help detox dyed mulch that's been used around the church flower beds I have to dig in?
Interesting.
I mean, chelators are, they only do what they do, right? It's like, I don't know, you know, they're very mechanical. This is a very mechanical process.
Okay.
So the molecule's large. It's looking for different charges, and it's going to bond with lots of different stuff. There has absolutely been tons of great research on healing dyed mulch soils with humic acid. Now, I'm in this situation, kind of the reverse of Mitch's. I would go back to the liquid because somebody won a citrus tree, installed citrus tree, and I was installing it for them. And they wanted in these beds where they lost some hawthorn, and it was all black mulch. And I dug and dug and dug, and I never saw a root.
Yeah.
Never saw one root. Then come to learn that a lot of times dyed mulch stymies root growth. It just stops it. And so we don't want it, we can't, this isn't going to be one treatment. It's going to be, we want to get it down 1 foot, 2 feet, even, you know, digging some columns in the soil, some like narrow post holes might be a great way to go to make sure we're getting humic acid down low. But I think for sure that would be a great approach for healing those soils.
So the Humates Plus?
For the liquid, what do I ask for?
Humates Plus, yeah.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry. It's just called humic acid. It might be called humic fulvic acid.
Okay.
They're both similar natural products that just come from decaying organic matter.
Okay, and MicroLife makes the liquid form, too.
They do. Now, I will say this, is in every yard of Nature's Way Resources compost, there's 300 pounds of humic acid. And so there's a lot in there. So if you are kind of using a postal digger and digging a hole 2-3 feet, it might be great to fill that with good compost. Like, that's probably 4 or 5 of those holes would probably be one bag of compost, right?
What a great piece of information.
And so then you've got this kind of like healthy column to spread out. And a cool thing about their compost is it's so dark.
Oh, and it feels so good. I mean,
yeah.
I'm a girl, but I love playing in their dirt.
Yeah, right?
It is. You can just feel it. Yeah.
But for a while, it might be a great transition to use that, although more expensive than mulch, as a mulch, you know,
okay.
Inch and a half.
May
of that.
I ask one more quick question?
Sure.
You said that we can spray our green leafy crops with horticultural oil every couple of weeks to discourage the grasshoppers. I think I heard you say horticultural oils are soy-based oils. And soy crops used to be genetically modified to withstand glyphosate spraying. Is this not a concern anymore?
They still are genetically modified for that. That's still, I mean, Roundup Ready crops are still a thing, even though Roundup's not selling in the U.S. anymore. It's still under multiple different names. When it comes down to it, that you don't wind up with a lot of, you might get an effect from the oil of your plants being Roundup Ready themselves, but I wouldn't spray them with Roundup just to test it. But you're not going to wind up with a genetic problem. I mean, you want to wash your produce always when you bring it in the house.
Right.
But Roundup doesn't wash off.
No, you're not using Roundup. You're using oil from plants that are modified to be Roundup ready.
Oh, okay.
Right. So wheat is a big problematic one for actually ingesting glyphosate. The bigger damage is on our soils, our soil life from glyphosate use, kind of agriculturally, not from us ingesting it, except for wheat, because they'll use it as a desiccant. They'll use it to dry the wheat. So like, you know, whole grain cereals, whole grain crackers that aren't organic, things like that. That's where your high glyphosate foods are. Mm. Soybeans are in a pod. And so the outside of the pod, which does get fed to cows, has more glyphosate on it than the beans themselves.
Okay.
And so if you're eating cows, if you're eating beef, that actually probably is a higher glyphosate food than soybeans. So there's different problems with both of those foods nutritionally. Neither of them are perfect, right? But the soybeans aren't an actual glyphosate issue.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. Have a great weekend. Okay, I've got a quick question for you then.
Okay, great.
Okay, so
I'm not a genetic scientist, though, for the record.
Okay, but you've got my mind working. I think I had heard John Ferguson from Nature's Way Resources. He had told us that organic is a tricky word on labels, correct? That the regulation of the word organic is not regulated?
It does matter the industry, right?
Okay.
So organic vegetables, organic produce is pretty strictly
regulated.
Yeah,
so I can trust that when I
you
go
can
to
trust that right
that's grocery
a
store
that's
X.
A thick black line.
Okay,
you know, it's hard to get it.
Okay, what about with my beef?
Yeah, same thing.
Okay,
same thing. There's a lot of things you can't do and a lot of things you can do.
Okay,
and now it's been a long shift of more things are allowed, but it's still like pretty rigorous.
Okay.
I mean, I have been part of farms getting the organic certification, and it is not simple. It's not easy.
Okay.
They do have to really abide by like a lot of standards that make their produce healthier and better.
Okay.
So
in veggie at the grocery store,
yeah.
we can kind of follow that. Now, what about when I go to, one of our Home Show Garden Pros? Well, actually they're selling mainly organic, but.
Well, so Omri. Right? Monterey products or Omri listed.
Uh-huh.
And that is it's a little bit grayer.
Okay. And that's what he was talking about.
What they're doing is they're tracking back every product.
Like a little family tree.
Well, like MicroLife is using Emory Humates from one of the best Humates mine station in the world.
Okay.
But that place, even though it's the best, is not organic.
Yeah.
And so if MicroLife were to change their humates to be organic, they would actually become a worse product.
Oh, less effective.
Yeah. So the molasses they're using is organic.
Okay.
Right? The alfalfa they're using is organic.
Okay.
But this humates isn't, even though it's the best. It's Epicurean humates, basically.
Right.
So that makes sense. So
yeah,
it's like
it
you
does.
Have to make some decisions
you do.
On that. And yeah, they're making that. Compost.
The best, worst decision, and not even the worst. I mean,
right.
Just the best decision. You know,
yeah,
we try to live within Mother Nature's her guidance.
Right.
You know, and I mean, we try our best there. And you and I were talking at the break that sometimes we've got to, you know, we need to use a synthetic. I mean, you know, just like with humans, I mean, there's sometimes and we just have to, you know, have that medicine.
Right.
But let's do what we can working with nature as much as we can. And that's why I love this show. And I love the experts that come on here and guide us in that way. So you are listening to Home Show Garden Pros, and we are honored to have Danny Milliken here from Houston Botanic Gardens. He has been taking a wonderful variety of questions at 281-833-3333. And when we return, Danny, we have got Stephen for you.
Native plants thrive in Texas heat with less water. Previously, they were hard to find near Conroe or the Woodlands. till now. Select from hundreds of native plants and summer veggies at Nature's Way Resources Garden Center. Bring your dog, kids, and shop over 2 acres of flowers, vegetables, and plants. Nature's Way experts help you pick the right plants, organic soils, and supplements for success. Nature's Way Resources Garden Center, 45 North at FM 1488, naturewayresources.com.
Yellowing patches are a warming sign of brown patch. See it? Spray it with humic acid now. You're listening to Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. I am here with Danny Milliken from Houston Botanic Garden. He is answering your calls and questions at 281-833-3333. Playing in the dirt. We all love to play in the dirt. It's not just for kids. Healthy landscaping and gardens starts with healthy soils. Landscaper's Pride mulches and soils are premium quality and locally sourced. You can choose from their topsoil for those lumpy and bumpy places in your lawns. How about their black humus or their compost peat? Both 100% aged pine, composted and screened, and great for amending your existing soils. And if you're putting veggies or plants into containers, their potting soil is curated, blended compost peat, fine sand, and blended organics, all around a great potting medium, or their gardener's magic. It's a mixture of black humus, soil conditioner, and composted rice hulls. Gardener's Magic is best for raised beds, potted plants, or amending your soils. For healthier, faster-growing vegetables, shrubs, and plants, choose naturally organic Landscaper's Pride. Grab Landscaper's Pride mulches and soils at all of our Home Show Garden Pros. Learn more at homeshowgardenpros.com.
That is right, and we are going to Stephen. Now, so Stephen, you have a question. Is that right, Stephen? Am I getting that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Stephen, sorry. You're getting your name said a lot, Stephen.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Oh, good morning.
Your discussion about milkweed raised a question for me.
Yes.
I've got a lot of really tall milkweed and looks healthy growing. I wrestle each year with cutting it. And almost each time I cut a long stem, I feel pain somewhere in my body.
Oh.
Yeah. But I was wondering if you have given any thought, and if so, what are your thoughts about taking the leaves, rinsing them, maybe spraying them down with peroxide, and freezing them for the next year?
I haven't thought about that. Why would you do that, just to have early fodder?
What happens is we tend to have more cats than we have food for them, and we have created a couple of little habitats for them when we find them. And we need something to put in the habitat to feed them. And it just seems a waste of all those leaves to get rid of them. I've heard of it. I haven't pursued it. That's why I was calling you.
Yeah. Well, I can follow up with an entomologist and send that information to Sandy. And so because I haven't thought of that either. I haven't considered that. I mean, if it's like produce and it maintains some nutrition, like we might eat spinach. But we have a lot more advanced digestive system than caterpillars do. It's a really interesting notion. I mean, what I might consider is diversifying my milkweed selection. Mm-hmm. There are some natives that spring up a lot earlier than the tropical. Finding some of those.
Well, we actually have a couple of giganteas, I think they call them.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to, to go to them unless we actually remove them from one of the tropicals and put them on the plant itself.
Yeah, the tropical milkweed we talk about, we should call it Mexican milkweed because it is from, Michoacan. It is from where they want food the most, the earliest, right? And it's their preferred food. Mm-hmm. Wherever they find it in the country or the continent, it's their favorite. And so the Gigantea is a second option. They're generally going to kind of want what is most appropriate on their flight path. So if they're flying over Kansas, they want some food. They're going to look for Kansas-based milkweed.
Oh, yeah.
They're still going to stop at the tropical they have it. So, yeah, I've noticed, too, that even though the Gigantea is huge, hence the name, it is not their first stop. It's not their first food.
It's not as attractive to them.
Yeah. And so but it is real waxy. So it's got a ton of energy, and it might be a really great bet for your kind of approach, your thought there. I'm very interested in it. I'm definitely asking. Erin Mills is our entomologist at Houston Botanic Garden. She's phenomenal, and we think a lot about monarchs and milkweed and pollinators and plant phenology and climate change and different habitats and different flight patterns and all that jazz all the time. So, yeah, interesting.
Okay. Well, I'll keep an ear out then for that.
Great.
Yeah, mix it in some. So, I mean, Enchanted Garden sells native milkweed. You got to get in pretty early, and you really got to make sure it's in well-draining soil. So better almost in a pot than in the ground. But that would be something that sparks some leaves a little bit earlier than the tropical.
Mm-hmm. Well, for some reason, it's hard to beat the mother butterflies. They find a little bit, and they lay a bunch of eggs. And on next door here in the Clear Lake area, you're constantly seeing people saying, do you have any leaves? Do you have any leaves? Uh-huh.
So, I mean, one butterfly, the whole trip, right, from Mexico to back or Houston to back or wherever they're going and ending, it's probably six generations of monarch. It's not one generation. It's not the same butterfly that goes. And, I mean, it's like we provide the food. We encourage our friends and our neighbors and businesses to provide the food and the host plants and native nectar plants. And that's what we got to do. We got to more and more and more native nectar plants and food plants. One house won't provide enough. It just can't, right? And they need to eat and move on. They need to lay an egg and move on. And so making more and more available all the time, it's impossible, right? Like, you know, let's like make sure our friends are planting it. You know what I mean? Like those very early ones are probably ones that are overwintering and probably need to – they're probably localized ones that live here. And they'll find a way. I mean, they lay way more eggs than – they expect to go to butterfly.
Yeah, I understood at one time that it was estimated only 5% of them actually go,
right,
go to adulthood. Is that about right?
I mean, yeah, that sounds right. Just from the experts I've talked to, they're really expecting most of the eggs to not be successful.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but when we see one of those little ones and
they've
eaten it dry, it's painful. What do you do?
I know.
Okay.
Well, thanks very much, Stephen.
Well,
I hope that helps a little bit, and thanks for listening.
Well, it'll just help when I hear what Danny has found out from you.
Okay, well, absolutely. I will find out from him, and then, you know, you can also pop us an email at homeshowgardenpros.com, because then I will respond with Danny's information, because then I'll have your email.
Fantastic. That'll be coming later today. Thank
All right.
you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, Danny, I'm going to send you home with homework.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good. I'm texting her right now.
Oh, great. This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610, and we will return with Danny Milliken after this.
Let your senses transport you to a peaceful hideaway where beauty and tranquility are waiting for you. Enchanted Nurseries and Landscaping in Richmond. Striking display gardens, plants, shrubs, and trees accompanied by the sights and sounds of fountains, chimes, and whimsical garden art. Enchanted Forest on FM 2759 and Enchanted Gardens on FM 359. For three generations, family-owned, family-run. Sharing their gardening passions, helping you find yours. Enchanted Nurseries and Landscaping. Discover them online at myenchanted.com.
Now, back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
Hey, this is Sherry with Plants for All Seasons. The weather is starting to turn around. We have shorter days, and it's time to prepare your gardens for fall veggies and fall flowers. All the ripe veggies are stocked on the table and ready for you to plant. Plus, we have a huge selection of seeds. But most importantly, get your beds prepped and ready with high-quality compost and organic fertilizers. Grab some of our freshly brewed compost tea. This will really benefit your plants and your soil to have beautiful, vibrant veggies and flowers. With the shorter days and the increased rainfall, be on the lookout for lawn fungus and make sure you treat it appropriately. If there's an area in your yard that always gets brown patch, let's compost top dress and hit it with some compost tea. This will help fight it off before it gets out of control. As soon as we cool off, our beloved pansies will start arriving. Make sure and plant them once we've cooled down so they won't stretch. Come visit us at Plants for All Seasons. We're easy to get to at 21328 Highway 249, just right off the feeder road. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and go to our website, plantsforallseasons.com. And now back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
And good morning. This is Home Show Garden Pros, and I want to remind folks that we have Danny Milliken here with us today from Houston Botanic Gardens. But Home Show Garden Pros is a co-op, a knowledge co-op of locally owned nurseries around the Houston, Waller, Fort Bend areas, and they include Nelson's Nursery and Water Gardens. You've heard from Anita Nelson. You have heard from Sherry at Plants for All Seasons and Nature's Way Resources and Garden Center. They rotate through here and take your calls and your questions every Saturday morning. And we so appreciate you listening and enjoy their knowledge base. And, you know, Danny sat down today and I told him I love to hear from you experts about the whys of our gardening and what goes on. And the word that you told me about plants changing, there is a scientific word for that.
Yeah, phenology.
Phenology.
PH. The PH.
So we are studying phenology.
That's right.
I love it.
Well, in fact, at the Botanic Garden, we have a program called Budburst that is online. You can help us scientists track phenology globally. So it's a community science project. Everybody participates. The more information we have, the more we know, and the more we can kind of enact change based on that.
That is awesome. Budburst. And they can find that on the website.
Yep, on the website.
HBG.org.
Yeah, nailed it. Nice.
Yay. Okay, HBG.org. That's where you can find all the activities going on. And before we leave today, Danny, I'm going to run through some of the wonderful classes going on and activities. But while I have you here, I would like to go over a few questions because we get stacks of questions every week on homeshowgardenpros.com. And I have one here from CD, and he wants to know, he says he's noticed galling and knots in my okra. And he says he has extremely sandy soil, and he suspects it is root knot nematodes. So do you have some solutions, and are guardian marigolds helpful here? What do you say for CD?
So if you see knots on the roots of any plant, that is root knot nematodes. So
okay.
They prefer tomatoes, but any tomato relative, anything close to that, it will happen. So adding marigolds will help defend the plant, but once the infestation happens, there's nothing you can do.
Okay.
You can buy nematodes, predatory nematodes, add them to soil too. They won't go into the plant and get the root knot nematodes.
Okay.
What these things do is they make a filter in your roots that filters out all the nutrients coming up from the soil to the plant. And the plant can stay green, but once it starts fruiting and flowering, it needs those more advanced nutrients from the soil.
Right.
That's when it fails. And so anytime we're planting things like peppers, squashes, okra, after tomatoes in the exact same spot, because tomatoes are magnets for these things, then we're planting in a really rich nematode area.
So we need to rotate.
We need to rotate, yeah.
But now that he sees the knots now, is there anything he can do?
He's got to just take them all out.
Take them out.
Yeah, plant some marigolds right there.
Oh, okay.
Winter there. Or even something like onion, garlic,
okay.
Carrots.
Okay.
Things like that that are not going to be problematic.
Okay. All right. Well, we will send that off to CD for that. And we've got a caller for you real quick on the line. Perry, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Danny, good to hear your voice again.
Well, thanks, Perry.
I like having you on. Hope you get to back in the rotation. I'd love to hear more from you.
Have fun.
thank you. Hey, the question I have is about Esperanza. So someone was telling me, you need to get these plants and make great yellow flowers in your yard, et cetera. So I end up getting a couple just the other day, and they're in the pot still. And I'm looking at them, the vine structure, or the structure, the wood part and the leaves, and it looks a lot like wisteria. Does it actually act like a wisteria vine? I remember growing up, they just took over uncontrollably, and they were a pain in my mom and neighbor's yard. Is Esperanza worked in the same way?
No. It's a small tree, a small kind of native dryland tree. So it'll get left on its own with no freezes, 12 feet, 15 feet tall. Every freeze will knock it back a little bit, if not to the ground. So you're looking at a shrub that on average Well, really, you're between 2 feet and 6 feet most of the time. So okay. not a vine at all. But I have seen growth on it that it'll put on long kind of shoots that look pretty viney because they're like green. Right. They stand alone.
And they're kind of floppy sometimes, aren't they?
A little floppy.
Yeah.
I got room for it. I just wanted to make sure that when planted it, it wouldn't just take over and shoot out everywhere. So, all right, that's good news. And do you have time for one more question?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. So, Danny, I don't know if you remember, but I'm a guy who moved to Conroe, ended up with a first-time Bermuda lawn and just constantly battling problems in here. And dove weed. I've done everything, and I say that, and I've put the soil treatment down that you told me to, that compost, leaf mold, and it just keeps coming back. Should I just, I mean, why do I need to care about it? Should I just leave dove weed and just give up?
There you go. Well, so to get a lush Bermuda lawn, we've got to water a little bit. That's the problem with Bermuda. It can survive drought forever. Dove weed likes water, right? That's what it likes. Yeah. Did you try Agrilon on it?
Yeah, that just gets a little too pricey.
Yes, no doubt, pretty quickly. But it does kill it, I'll say that. Also, if you can just stop watering for like a season or two, you might see a reduction in it. I mean, doveweed makes a tight bunch, and its roots are real, real shallow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can just kind of get water out that top layer, you might actually deepen your Bermuda roots also for resiliency later on.
Yeah. And sometimes I find myself sort of pulling as many clumps as are bothering me at that moment.
Right, yeah.
And then reducing that water. I've got an area that just really loves doveweed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, why even fight the battle sometimes? I feel like just let it be and look at the little blue flowers and the seed pods and regret it the next year. So.
But I like that. It's like when it's bothering you, pull some out.
Yeah.
And then when it's not, leave it alone. And you'll probably maintain the same size of a patch that way.
Yeah. I don't let it take over completely. I have a funny story that Mike from MicroLife used to tell me. He said, Sandy, those weeds aren't there just to bother you. They're not growing just to bother you. And I'm like,
yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are.
You don't know my weeds.
Yeah, you don't know my pain. So anyway, well, thanks for your call, Perry. I hope that helps with the dove weed.
Yeah, thanks for fitting me in. Y'all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. This is Home Show Garden Pros, and I have been here with Danny Milliken, and we will return after this.
Now, back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
And I am here with Danny Milliken. He has been visiting us this morning, which has been such a treat, from the Houston Botanic Gardens. And we're going to touch on some of their activities that they've got going on. But Danny, since I've got you here, I need to make sure that we remind folks on a few to-dos for this weekend. So you are the expert.
So,
and I say that to all of our Home Show Garden Pros when they're here, because you are all the experts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the second week, almost the second week of November. What should I be doing in my lawn? What do I need to go out to the Home Show Garden Pros to get or to do?
Yeah, I mean, lawns right now, mid-November, it's a little late in the season to be like nitrogen, you know, fertilizer. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't fertilized in a while, MicroLife Brown Patch is amazing.
Okay.
If you're thinking of your veggie gardens, come to the class, Garden Gurus. You know, and if you're thinking about a class, our chocolate and bourbon pairing and tasting class is going to be awesome.
Fun.
Shay with Coco and Mo is going to be there. Makes the best chocolate you've ever had.
Ooh.
Coco and Mo, A-N-Mo on Instagram.
Wow.
Phenomenal chocolate and just a cool person. Next weekend, we've got our Sip Sup Stroll. That's beer made with botanics from the garden and paired appetizers.
Okay.
So those are some tips. Just, you know, get to the garden, get inspired. That will actually, you know, we always talk about your garden needs your shadow more than needs anything else.
Yes, it does.
And so if coming to my garden, Houston Botanic Garden, can inspire you to spend more time in your garden.
Right.
Literally one of the best things you could possibly do.
Right.
I mean, Sherry mentioned that they're brewing that compost
tea.
That would be one of the top things to get. Thinking of compost, a lot of times this is the season where we begin to neglect our citrus and our fruit trees.
It is. We forget about them.
So half a bag of Nature's Way compost per fruit tree. So, you know, if you got 10 fruit trees, you only need 5 bags.
Right.
And that will be what you need to do for winter.
Okay.
It's going to improve production, overwintering health, and then early disease resistance.
Right.
And then in the veggie, also you would hear this today at the class, at Garden Guru, starting at 11. But we would talk about how important it is to overspray horticulture molasses this time of year.
On the on those veggies.
On
we talked about
the
that
leafy
earlier.
Green veggies. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a new piece of information that I learned today. So lots of to-dos for us. We can come out to your place, Houston Botanic
One
Garden.
One big to-do, but yeah.
Right. Come out there. Go visit our Home Show Garden Pros and pick up some fall color also.
Yes.
It's a great time to put in fall color. And you know, the ground is moist.
Right. And that is the last, like, big thing to do when you're thinking about people coming to visit.
Yeah.
Is you don't want to freshen your beds up the day before they get there.
No.
This is kind of like
the weekend.
Our best weekend, far and away.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be that sweaty when you're working.
No. I mean, it's really nice. And it's easy to get it in the ground, too, because it's nice. You know, it's ready for new color.
So that's a perfect color weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great. Well, Danny, I so appreciate you being here. I can't wait to have you back. The pressure's on. Folks are saying, come on, bring him back also. So this is Home Show Garden Pros, and I have been here with Danny Milliken from Houston Botanic Garden. Don't forget to sign up for their newsletter at hbg.org to get their information. And it's a learning process. We're all in it together.
Absolutely.
So thanks a lot, Danny. We'll return after this.
You could spend your whole weekend slogging through that to-do list of chores at home.
Ah!
Or you could go from to-do to done like a boss. Get the help it takes from Houston's go-to guy for the sport of home improvements, Tom Tynan on Home Show Radio.
I'll listen to your show forever. God bless.
Coming up next after the Home Show Garden Pros.
And anytime you want.
And homeshowradio.com. Pros you can trust. Tips, advice, videos, and the Home Show podcast. Always on.
Always free.
homeshowradio.com.
Stay tuned. Home Show Radio will return shortly.